Well, thank you for joining us today on Enjoying Everyday Life. And you know what? I believe that what I'm going to teach today is going to help you enjoy every single day of your life more. You know, I wonder how many decisions you've already made today. I wonder how many choices you've looked at, I can do this or I can do this, and made a decision about which one you're going to do. I don't know how many decisions we make every day, how many choices we make, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's up towards 1,000. We make decisions about what to wear, about what to eat, about what to say, about what to think. We're always making decisions. And if you make right decisions, you're going to like your life a lot more than you're going to like it if you make wrong decisions. You know, a lot of times our lives are not going good, and we like to blame. Blame it on somebody else, blame it on something else, blame it on the devil. But a lot of times, it's because we're making wrong choices. Now, God has given us His Word, and if we follow the Word, do what it says, we'll make right choices instead of wrong ones. And obviously, the Bible doesn't cover every single solitary thing that you might need to make a choice about, but you have the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, and one of the things that He's sent to do is to guide us and lead us. So we need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, Joyce, how does He guide us? Well, one of the things is like we say sometimes, you know, I just had a check about that. Well, what do we mean? We just mean I started to do something and I just felt a little uncomfortable. You're in a conversation, you're talking about something, and it's making you a little uncomfortable. Well, maybe it's because you're talking about something that you shouldn't be talking about. The Holy Spirit leads us by peace. We should let peace be the umpire in our life. Now, if we make right choices, life is going to be great. If we make wrong choices, we're going to get the result of those wrong choices. You know, it's wonderful that God has created us in a way that we can make choices. We have free will. And I think everybody wants that. But there's also a responsibility that comes with being able to make your own choices. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "This day I call the heaven and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, good and evil, blessing and cursing. Now choose life." I always like that. It's kind of like these are your choices, and in case you don't know which one to do, choose life. "That you and your children may live." Do you know the choices that you make not only affect you, but they affect the other people around you? Our children, different ones of them, have come to us and thanked us at different times for the things that we taught them growing up, for teaching them to give, for teaching them integrity, for the sacrifices that we made so they could have the lives that they had. Every decision that we made affected our children, and now the decisions that they're making are affecting their children. If you don't make right choices, and I want you to really listen to this, what you're going to have is regret. And there's nothing worse than regretting what you've done, but not being able to go back and fix it. You know, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of stew. And the Bible says that later he sought for an opportunity to undo that decision, but he could not find one. Now, we can always be forgiven for wrong things that we do. God is merciful and He's gracious and He forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. And the Bible says that He not only forgives our sins, but He forgets them and moves them as far as the east is from the west. We can be forgiven, but we cannot always undo the circumstances that we get as a result of what we have done. Sometimes you can, but a lot of times you can't. To regret means to feel sorry, disappointed, or distressed about something. to feel sorrow or grief over something, to mourn, a sense of loss and longing for someone that's gone, distress over a desire unfulfilled or an action performed or not performed. Now, you know, anytime that I talk about regret, I have to think about my own father who has now thankfully gone on to be with the Lord, and I'm glad to be able to say that he is with the Lord. But he did not make a decision to receive Christ as his Savior until he was 80 years old. He died when he was 83. The other 80 years of his life, he made all kinds of wrong choices. He just was mean. He was hard to get along with. He drank excessively alcohol. He didn't like people. He abused me sexually. He was a lousy father to my brother. He was violent with my mother. Well, I can tell you, and I hate to have to give this report, but at the end of his life, I know he looked back and he was sorry for the way he had lived. I know he was sorry for what he did to me because he finally, when he was 80, told me that he was sorry for what he did. But he waited until he was 80 to tell me that he was sorry. And you know, I have to say, and this sounds bad, but really, even when he was gone, I don't think there was anybody that missed him. There was nobody at his funeral except the few of us in the family. And that's sad. It's really sad, but it was his own fault because he made wrong choices. He had a wrong life. Well, I believe that some of you today, many of you, are making right decisions and you're growing in God and you're enjoying your life. But I also believe that there are people watching today. And maybe you turned the program on accidentally. You thought something caught your interest, so you're still listening. Maybe you watch all the time, but there's some things in your life that you've been kind of letting slide. And I really want to encourage you to think about the decisions and the choices that you're making in every area of your life and make a decision that to the best of your ability, you are going to try to make right choices, because I want you to hear me. Every choice that you make, right or wrong, has some impact on your life. If you make a wrong decision, there's going to be a circumstance come up that you are not going to like or enjoy. But if you make right decisions, there's going to be something good that's going to happen in your life that you are going to like and you're going to enjoy. Let's talk about some examples of things that people might regret. Have you ever said, I wish I wouldn't have done that? Or I wish I would have done that? Or I wish I wouldn't have said that? I really regret that I ate that. I think we've all been there. I wish I had saved more money all these years. Now I regret that I spent everything that I had. I regret that I never exercised in my life. And now I feel so bad and I feel so tired all the time. I regret that I didn't finish school. I wish I would have spent more time with my children when they were young, but I was too busy trying to make money and I didn't have time for my family and my friends. And now I'm lonely because I didn't build any relationships, and on and on and on and on. Well, you know what? Wishing doesn't change anything. When you hear statements like that, those are statements of regret. But the good news today is you can do something about it by making right choices. You know, Proverbs is a book in the Bible that is full of wisdom. We call it the Book of Wisdom. And it covers so many areas of our life. It covers financial matters. It talks a lot about the mouth. It talks about anger and how angry people are going to have bad lives. It wouldn't hurt to read, there's 31 Proverbs in the Book of Proverbs. one for every single day of the month? How about if you read one proverb every single day, and at the end of the year, you would have read each one 12 times? Many people regret their whole life, and if they do, it's just the result of making wrong choices. You know, there's a man in the Bible named Gehazi, and he was actually a servant of Elisha. And Elisha was a great prophet, and there was a man named Naaman who was the commander of an army, and he had leprosy. And someone told him about Elisha and that he could heal him from his leprosy if he would go and see him. So he went to the king and asked permission to go, and he asked the king if he would send a letter to Elisha asking him to heal him, which the king did. So his servant Gehazi went along with him, and they went and knocked on Elisha's door, and the servant went in, told Elisha what the man wanted, and Elisha sent an instruction, tell him to go and wash in so-and-so river, and he will be cleansed. Well, when the servant Gehazi went back out and told Naaman, the prophet said, you are to do this, he got upset. He said, well, I thought he would at least come out and wave his hand over me. He had a problem with pride. He wanted the prophet to come out and make a big deal over him and be all excited that he had come. And, you know, maybe the attitude that he had was the reason why he had leprosy to start with. A lot of times the problems that we have in our life are things that we have done that if we wouldn't have done them, we wouldn't have that problem. Now, that's not always the case, but it could have been in his instance. Well, he was going to leave in a huff and be mad, and some of the people with him talked him into going ahead and doing what the prophet had told him to do. And sure enough, he went and washed in the river, and he was cleansed. Well, he was so excited, he had taken along with him gifts, silver, gold, different clothing items that he was going to give the prophet if he was healed. Well, when he tried to give these things to Elisha, he said, no, I will not take anything. He didn't want anything for just functioning in the gift that God had given him. He didn't want anything from Naaman. And so Naaman and his group, they started back home. Well, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, got to thinking about that money. You know, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble because we kind of get to thinking about the wrong thing. And he thought about that money, and he thought about those clothes, and he thought, well, why shouldn't we have some of that? So he decided he was going to go chase after Naaman, and he told him a lie. He said, my master Elisha has sent me to you. A couple of people came that he wasn't expecting, and now he needs some supplies for them. So he would like some of the money and some of the changes of clothes. Well, Naaman was very happy to give them to him. And of course, Gehazi thought that Elisha would not know anything about it, but Elisha knew things because God revealed them to him. So when Gehazi got back and Elisha asked him where he'd been, he lied to the prophet, and then he said no, and he told him what he'd done, and so on and so forth. Well, Gehazi ended up with the leprosy that Naaman had. And you know, here's the interesting thing. You never hear anything in the Bible about Gehazi again. I wonder how many people had an opportunity for greatness, but somewhere along the line, they made wrong choices, and then you never hear from them again. You know, we can even think about different famous people that we hear about. Maybe a great singer, or an actor, or an actress, or some kind of performer. This happens fairly often. And boy, they come on the scene, and they're so popular, and everybody loves them, and they're getting awards, and they're on everything, and then all of a sudden, they start making some wrong choices. And you know, one of the reasons why we make wrong choices is sometimes we start thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We begin to think that we can just get by with whatever we want to do. And then all of a sudden, you just don't hear about those people anymore. Well, what happened to him? Well, something happened to him, and it was something that wasn't good. I don't know if Gehazi was around and saw some of the good choices that other people made later on and what happened to them, but if he was, I'm sure that he regretted when he thought about the man that he could have been. I wonder if there's any of you today that you're regretting the person you could have been and you think it's too late. You know what? I have a feeling that God has you watching this today because he wants you to know that he's merciful and forgiving, and it's not too late for you. You can begin again. God has always got a fresh start for people. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." And you know, Gehazi let the love of money destroy his life. Now, you know, we all want to make money. We all want to be successful. And there's an opportunity in America. If you work hard, you can increase and do lots of great things. But let me tell you something. Money is not the most important thing in the world. And the things that money can buy are not the most important things in the world. You can love money. You can like money. You can enjoy money, but don't love money. And don't ever use people to get money. Use money to bless people. I want to say that again. Don't use people to get money. Use money to be a blessing to people. And if you do that, you'll always be on the right side of things. There was a young man who came to Jesus, and he was a rich young man. And he said to Jesus, "What must we do? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus told him, "Well, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery," and was talking about the Ten Commandments. And the young man said, "Oh, I've done all that from my youth." And so Jesus said to him, "Well, there's one thing you still lack." But I love in Mark 10:21, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. There's so many times when Jesus said hard things to people, but he said them because he loved them. You know, sometimes we think people only love us if they tell us everything we want to hear and give us everything we want. But sometimes not giving somebody what they want is a greater act of love than giving them what they want. And he said, "You still lack one thing. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Well, that sounds like it would have been a pretty difficult thing to do. And sure enough, it says the man went away sad, depressed, gloomy, and grieved because he had great possessions. And you know what? I'm sure that he probably stayed that way for the rest of his life because he made a bad decision over money. Don't do that. If you were in Mark chapter 10, and you can read it later, I believe if the man would have done what Jesus asked him to do, he would have had joy and peace, and he would have gotten back what he gave away multiplied many times over. Because a few verses after this event that I'm telling you about in Mark chapter 10, Jesus told his disciples that it was hard for a rich man to get into heaven, but all things were possible with God. And then he said, "Anyone who gives up houses, lands, mother, father, anybody for my sake will in this lifetime receive 100 times as much as they gave." You know what? God is never trying to take anything away from you. He's always trying to get more to you. What was this young man's problem? Why did he make the wrong decision? Because he loved his money too much. You can love money too much, and it will keep you from making right choices in your life. I really want to encourage you today to look at your life and to make right choices. Do you know one choice can change your destiny? One choice in my life changed my destiny. Back in 1976, the Holy Spirit touched my life, and God put in my heart that he wanted me to teach his word all over the world. Well, to be honest, it sounded like a crazy thing. I mean, I wasn't qualified to do that. I didn't have the education to do that. That's been 45 years ago. Women didn't do that then. But by the grace of God, I made the decision to step out and start in the direction of trying to do what I felt like God had told me to do. And it cost me a lot of relationships. There were a lot of people who thought I'd lost my mind and they didn't want to be friends with me anymore if I was going to do that. But you know what? That one choice changed my life. It altered my destiny. And I believe that some of you have choices in front of you right now. Very serious choices. Maybe you're thinking about getting married, but you really don't have peace about the person you're about to marry. You kind of down deep inside know that it's not going to go good, but you're kind of desperate. You're afraid that you'll never have anybody. So you're thinking you're going to go ahead and do it anyway. You know what? I made that mistake in my life. When I was 18 years old, I married a young man, the first man that came along that showed me any attention. And I was afraid because I'd been sexually abused by my father that I would never have anybody. And so even though I didn't have peace about what I was doing, I did it anyway. And sure enough, it turned out to be a 5-year disaster where I just got hurt over and over and over again. And so I'm pleading with you today, if you're at a point of decision in your life, especially a serious decision, go with peace. Don't just go with what you want to do, go with peace. Romans 5:19 says, "For just as through the disobedience of one man, that many were made sinners," and that's talking about Adam, "Adam let sin into the world through his one bad choice. So also through the obedience of one man, that man being Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous." Thank God for Jesus and that he came and made the right choice to do his Father's will, even though it was a difficult thing to do. I had to make a choice between my friends, my reputation, or following God. And I'm so grateful that he gave me the grace to follow God. Joshua 24:15 says, "Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I want to tell you today that you need to make the choice that you know that God is leading you to make. Because I shudder to think what my life would have been like had I done what people wanted me to do or what I thought would have been comfortable. If your marriage is in trouble, be sure you make the right choice. You know, when Dave and I first got married, I had a lot of problems from my childhood of being abused, and I didn't really know I had a lot of problems. I mean, I knew my behavior was bad, but I made all kinds of excuses for it, and Dave put up with it for a long time. He's a very patient and a loving man, and then finally, he came to the point where he said, "You know something, you've got me to the point where I just can hardly stand you." And he said, "I'm a man of God and I want to do what's right, but I don't really know how much longer I can put up with this." Well, you know what? I had a decision to make. And at that point in my life, thank God, he helped me make the right decision. And I decided that I needed to change. Now, I want you to listen to me because somebody needs to hear this today. You can blame your problems on everybody else. You can find fault with everybody else. But you can't change them. You can't do anything about them. Only God can. You can pray for them. The only person you can do anything about is you. And you can't do that without God's help. So maybe you need to be the one to say today, "God, I need to change. And I want you to change me." Stop blaming everything on somebody else and take responsibility for the mess your life has gotten into and start learning how to make right choices in your life. I hope this has helped you today. God loves you. He has got a great plan for your life. So start cooperating with him. God bless you.